In 2017, an English girl named Danielle travelled to India with the aim of taking yoga classes to become a professional yoga teacher. However, the morning after one of the biggest festivals in the region, Holi Festival, she was found dead in a deserted field, and the mysteries surrounding this crime seem far from ending. This is the story of Danielle McLaughlin. Danielle McLaughlin was born on February 4th, 89 in Glasgow, a city in the United Kingdom. She was the daughter of Andrea Branigan and Edward Donnelly. The couple met only three times in 1988, and Andrea did not tell Edward that she was pregnant because he was only 15 years old at the time. 2 weeks after the girl's birth, Andrea returned to her hometown in Buncrana, a town in Donegal, Ireland. Danielle was brought to Liverpool in England, United Kingdom, where she spent most of her life. She finished high school, went to college, and worked to support herself. Her father's name was not on her birth certificate. It was only in 2013 that Edward learned about his daughter. He added his name to the girl's birth registry and met her in person when she was 24 years old. In early adulthood, Danielle decided to venture out into the world. She returned to Buncrana, as it was to be her return point from her travels. She visited different places, did a lot of volunteer work, spent long periods in different countries, but always returned to her mother's house. She gained an extensive travel history and, above all, immeasurable cultural learning. During 2016, Danielle decided to stop adventuring for a while and settle in Canada to try life there. She loved yoga and wanted to become a professional practitioner and teacher. To do this, she thought about taking a trip to India to take some courses and then begin her new life in Canada. She had visited India previously, specifically a region called Goa. She bought her ticket for February 2017. On February 22nd, when she was going to India at the age of 28, she posted on her Facebook page, "Thank you to all my friends and family for making home so special and always looking after me. I'm very grateful and the luckiest person I know. Off on another adventure." Goa is the smallest state in India, both in terms of territory and population, but it has the largest GDP, which makes it a very rich state. A curious fact is that a lot of people there speak Portuguese because for a long time, Portugal dominated that region. For more or less 400 years, Goa was considered a Portuguese state. This lasted until 1961 when the Indian Army expelled the Portuguese forces and the territory was integrated into India. The territory of Goa extends along the Indian west coast with more than 100 kilometers of beach. It's a tropical area that has many mountains, rivers, and islands. The climate is hot and humid throughout the year, making winter very pleasant. Goa is a well-known tourist region. It receives visits from many backpackers and locals interact well with visitors. Tourism in general is huge, and it's no wonder that there are lots of parties, festivals, plenty of hotel options and hostels. All of this has made Goa famous as a paradise in India. Danielle arrived there at the end of February with an Australian friend. She was looking for a permanent place to rent because, as I said, she intended to stay for a while to study yoga and become a teacher. In March, there is a very famous festival called Holi Festival. Around the world, it is better known as the Festival of Colours. This event aims to celebrate the triumph of good over evil by representing it in the most diverse colours. People do this by throwing coloured powders at each other. For this reason, it is even recommended that participants wear clothes that they don't mind getting dirty or losing, as it is practically impossible to get clothes clean again after hours of celebration. The party usually takes place from the afternoon until evening. Danielle participated in this celebration on the 13th of March 2017. As she had already travelled to India before, she knew some people from the region. On the 14th at 7:30 a.m, a local farmer was heading to one of his fields. On his path, unfortunately, he found the disfigured body of Danielle, naked and lifeless on the ground, her face badly bruised. As soon as the police arrived at the scene, the investigation began. They spoke to the locals from the region to see if they knew anything and tried to retrace her steps. The local police managed to find some photos. In one of them, Danielle was wearing a bikini, getting out of a taxi holding a man's hand. This man was identified as the taxi driver himself, called Kanar, and he soon became a suspect. Kanar was 37 years old, married with a young son, and had lied to his wife saying he was going out with some friends. When questioned, he said he didn't know what happened, that he had had a few drinks with her during the afternoon of the 13th at the festival, then took her home. He said he was just holding her hand to help her out of the car. He said he dropped her off at her final destination at around 9:20 p.m. at a resort, where the photo was taken. After that, he saw her meet another boy, get on his motorbike, and leave. Kanar went home. His wife, who was his alibi, confirmed that he had indeed spent the night at home, but that she didn't know, nor had she imagined that he had gone out drinking or meeting girls. So he admitted that he had spent the afternoon and part of the night with her, but he denied that he had killed her. The police released him. Soon after that, the forensic examination report on Danielle's body came out, and it was found that she had been asphyxiated. She still had some marks on her neck. She had also been badly injured on her face. It appeared that her assailant had tried to disfigure her with a broken glass bottle. But despite everything, there were other marks on her body that proved that she had fought for her life. On top of all this, it was confirmed that she had been sexually assaulted. In other words, Danielle was victimized between the night of the festival on the 13th and the early hours of the 14th. Based on the taxi driver's testimony, the police identified another suspect named Vikat Bhagat. Vikat was also a 23-year-old local at that time. During the investigation, the police viewed recordings from security cameras in the region and found images of him with Danielle. He appeared to be the last person to have seen the girl alive. Vikat worked as a tour guide, so he had a lot of contact with visitors, especially foreigners. But he was an irregular guide. Vikat did not have the necessary documents to work in this area, and he also had a criminal record for petty crimes such as robberies, stealing from tourists, and there were rumors that he was part of a local gang. When the police found him, he had some scratches on his body, and his clothes and motorcycle were bloodstained. A backpack containing Danielle's bloodstained clothes was found near his house. Vikat was arrested, and it was soon assumed that he had killed the girl. But he said he did not act alone. There were friends of his involved too. He even gave names, but the police didn't believe him and said that he could have committed the crime alone and was solely responsible for the crime. Police said Vikat took advantage of the girl's vulnerability on the night of the party and had tried to disfigure her face to make identification difficult. But what caught our attention in this case was what was discovered later. Vikat was already friends with Danielle, at least on Facebook. They had met a year earlier on her previous visit to India. Since then, the two connected on the social network and exchanged messages from time to time. 2 months later, in May 2017, Vikat withdrew his confession. He sent a 30-page letter to his sister explaining everything that happened on the night of the crime. He said that he was coerced by the police, including being beaten, to confess to the murder. Excerpts of the letter were leaked to the media, and the police said that there was no evidence for his accusations. He was simply inventing things to hinder the investigation and delay the trial. I will give you now a summary of what was leaked. The letter said that he did not commit the crime, that in fact he and Danielle were involved in a relationship. He said that he did spend the night with her, that they drank, and that they went to an area called Leopard Valley. It was close by, and Vicart had some friends there who were having a party. On the way, they stopped at a bar very close to the field where Danielle's body was found. They drank and smoked some more. His friends in the Leopard Valley region called, and so they left, heading towards their destination. On the way, three men on bicycles who were Vicat's friends asked what they were doing in that area. When they saw the girl, they asked Vicat if she would have sex with them. Danielle got very angry, and when the guys realized they were leaving, the men attacked her. Vicat said he could not do anything because he had just had a shoulder surgery, but he witnessed everything. When it was all over, he tried to help Danielle, which is why he had blood on his clothes, and consequently, on his motorcycle. In the end, that was it. He didn't do anything. He was just in the wrong place at the wrong time and had just tried to help. He said that when he told these facts to the police, they didn't believe him, and even gave him electric shocks, forcing him to tell the version that he had killed Danielle. The lawyer for the victim's family, a local from Goa, said he did not believe that the crime was committed by just one person. Danielle was stronger than Vicat. In a confrontation between the two of them, she would probably have come out on top, and he in turn should have much more evidence on his body after the attack. The police said that they had talked to his friends, but that there was no proof of anything. It seemed like Vicat was just making up an excuse to not answer to the accusation of sexual abuse and murder. Furthermore, they weren't buying the idea that Vicat, driving a motorbike, with a shoulder surgery, was stopped by three people on bicycles.
Hey, você se interessa por crimes reais, serial killers, coisas macabras e tem um senso de humor um tanto quanto sórdido? Se sim, você não está sozinho.
Se você precisa de um lugar recheado de pessoas como você, venha conhecer o podcast Pátria Amada Criminal.
Todas as semanas tentamos entender o pior da humanidade.
Nesse processo a gente ri, chora, fica brava, fofoca, porque afinal de contas é assim que a gente fala quando está entre amigos.
Suas novas melhores amigas trevosas estão aqui no Pátria Amada Criminal.
Regarding diplomatic issues, it was confirmed that Danielle had travelled to India with her United Kingdom passport, so she had entered the country as a British tourist. The British consulate was responsible for carrying out all the formalities and bureaucracy to take her body back to her family in the town of Bunkrana. Andrea, her mother, was going through a very difficult time. She had recently lost her father, her husband, and now she had to bury her daughter. According to her, it was one of the worst, if not the worst time of her life. Edward, the biological father, regretted the entire tragedy and the fact that he was unable to spend more time with the daughter he had practically just met. A year later, April 2018, Vicat was facing charges of sexual abuse, murder, violent robbery, and destruction of evidence. He pleaded not guilty. The hearings were being closed. One of the witnesses who was called to testify against Vicat received threatening calls as soon as she left the court. They said that she should not have said everything she said. The investigation into this connection points to possible members of the gang Vicat was a member of. A friend of Danielle spoke outside the court to the press. She said that Danielle was only with Vicat because she knew him from another trip, and as a local he could help her find a place to rent. She also said that this festival is very family friendly, that people of all ages attend, from children to the elderly. It is not a festival where people go to just drink and take drugs as many accuse Danielle of having done. And even if that was the case, she didn't deserve to die the way she did. For Danielle's family, the case was taking a long time to be judged. And as a result, Andrea sent an email to the Secretariat of the Prime Minister of Ireland at the time, Leo Varadkar, requesting support so they could put pressure on India to speed up this process. On September 6th, they received an unexpected response. "Dear Miss McLaughlin, I refer to your email request for a meeting with the Taoiseach to discuss the tragic case of your daughter Danielle. I regret to inform you that a meeting with the Taoiseach is not possible, and indeed probably not worthwhile, as I note Danielle was not an Irish citizen. I would suggest that you contact the office of Jeremy Hunt MP, Foreign Secretary, if you wish to discuss the circumstances of your daughter's death abroad and or lack of support you experienced during that very difficult time. His office email is @fco.gov.uk. I regret that I cannot be of further assistance." This shocked everyone, because Danielle was an Irish citizen. In fact, she had dual nationality. She was Irish, as she is the daughter of Andrea, who is from Ireland, and British, after she had her father's name. The fact that she used a British passport to enter India did not make her any less Irish. According to the website donegalwoman.e, an official website of the County of Donegal aimed at a female audience, one day after this communication, the Irish government sent another official letter to the family. The Taoiseach is aware of the tragic circumstances surrounding the death of Irish citizen Danielle McLaughlin and extends his deepest sympathy to Danielle's family. The letter received by the Department of the Taoiseach from Danielle's mother indicated that Danielle was travelling on a British passport, leading officials handling the matter to incorrectly conclude that Danielle was a British citizen. This was the basis on which the office advised Danielle's family that the matter would be most appropriately handled by the British authorities. Having now clarified the facts surrounding this case, the department can confirm that consular services of the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade have and will continue to be provided to Danielle's family as appropriate. The department sincerely regrets the misunderstanding that arose in this case. Days later, Leo Varadkar and Andrea met. He again apologized for the misunderstanding and made promises to follow up on the case. The Indian police say they have enough evidence to convict Vikat and claim that he was the sole perpetrator in the murder, that his story about police corruption and hiding crimes is not true, and that they have investigated everything to the best of their ability. The suggestion of corrupt policing is due to the following. Danielle was not the only British woman who went on vacation in Goa and ended up being killed in this way. In 2008, another British woman aged just 15 who was on holiday with her family was found dead in the same city. She had been drugged, sexually assaulted, and the cause of death was drowning. Two suspects were arrested at the time, but cleared years later. Although Goa is known as a paradise, in the last 14 years, more than 245 tourists have died in suspicious conditions in the region. That's right, 245. All these cases were investigated and contained strange, suspicious aspects, which the police said happened one way and the family said it happened another way, and the explanations given didn't make sense. Danielle's case was just another one. But it made other families ask for their cases to be reopened. Many people go to Goa and simply do not return home. When families ask the police to investigate, they simply say that the cause of death was natural, drowning, or was unknown. Families are protesting on the internet that Goa is not such a safe place to travel to. It is very common in this type of case for people to say things like, "Oh, but she was traveling alone. There were a lot of men around, drinking, taking drugs. What did she want?" Another typical case where public opinion does not respect the loss of the family, and it seems that they do everything they can to blame the victim. The pain of loss is no longer enough for them, and the family still needs to endure the disservice from the population who, instead of providing support, attack them. In February 2020, when Danielle would have turned 31, family and friends made a post on the case's official Facebook page. As you all know about Danielle is that she travelled the world, lived life to the fullest. However, she went to Calcutta, Nepal and various other places to volunteer. She wanted to make an impact on this world, and she did. She helped so many people and saw some sights. She volunteered in Mother Teresa's orphanage. She physically helped build a new school in Nepal so the children didn't go without. She wasn't a saint, but she was kind to everyone, treated everyone the same, and went out of her way to help others when she didn't need to. Danielle would have been turning 31 this Tuesday, 4th of February. In her memory, we are asking each and every one of you who sees this post to think of her this weekend and the coming week, and do something kind for a random stranger, even if it's just a smile or a hello. You never know the impact that could have on their day. We want Danielle's birthday to not be forgotten, and we may have lost her in an unkindly way, but we don't want that to be remembered. We want the kindness and generosity to continue in her name instead. Please keep talking about Danielle and let her legacy live on through us all. Let's make her proud. The local people of Goa erected a shrine in memory of Danielle at the spot where her body was found. Despite the pressure from both countries, it seems that everything depends solely on the Indian government, as they have been holding hearings that do not make much progress. They deliberately postponed for reasons that included quarantine restrictions in 2020 and 2021. Until this roadmap is completed, a new hearing had not been scheduled. I promise to follow the case and provide updates here on the YouTube community tab, as well as on my social networks. Currently, it has been 7 years since the crime took place, and the family in Ireland is waiting with their hands tied for the conclusion of the case that it appears can only be solved by the government of India.
Hey, você se interessa por crimes reais, serial killers, coisas macabras e tem um senso de humor um tanto quanto sórdido? Se sim, você não está sozinho.
Se você precisa de um lugar recheado de pessoas como você, venha conhecer o podcast Pátria Amada Criminal.
Todas as semanas tentamos entender o pior da humanidade.
Nesse processo a gente ri, chora, fica brava, fofoca, porque afinal de contas é assim que a gente fala quando está entre amigos.
Suas novas melhores amigas trevosas estão aqui, no Pátria Amada Criminal.